Amen. You may take your seats and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. and we read from verse 23 through 34. This is the word of God. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." So far, the reading of God's word. I've decided this morning, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, to focus a little bit more in detail on the Lord's Supper that we haven't done for quite a while. In the time of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, it was their custom to gather on Sunday evenings in the homes of wealthier church members to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Many churches at that point still didn't have anything like a church building. So when they gathered, they brought food like our potluck meals, if you want, which they shared with each other. They called this the agape, or agape, or the love feast. You can read that of that also in Jude chapter 12, or Jude 12. And they enjoyed this meal together prior to the celebrating of the Lord's Supper. But as we know of so many other things in the church of Corinth, which was really a troubled congregation, there was a problem even with this practice. The wealthier people in the church just decided when they arrived to go ahead and eat. So by the time that the slaves and the rest of the church, if you want, the more common people arrived, there was no food left anymore sometimes. Some of the wealthier members even drank too much and were getting drunk. And in this way, they really missed the whole spirit of the Lord's Supper. You will see in a little bit why that was the case. You and I know that the Lord's Supper, like baptism, is part of the means of grace that God has blessed His church with. Like the preaching of God's word, so He has also added to that the sacraments. The preaching of God's word that He used to work faith in us. The sacraments, that does not work faith in us, it cannot, but it only encourages and strengthens the faith that already has been worked in us through God's word. It pictures to us more and where God through His word comes and He works inside through His Holy Spirit in us and work the faith in us. With this meal and with these sacraments, God comes and tends to the other senses, our eyes, our touch, our smell, and those kind of things, our taste. It becomes an affirmation of the truths that we have learned in the Scriptures. And God has added that because He knows, I like what the Belgic Confession say about this, it basically comes to that, that because of our own foolishness, God has added the sacraments to us, knowing that we are people who doubt His promises. And there's not one of us that sit here this morning that has not doubt whether God has truly forgiven our sins. If we look at our own lives, if we think about the things that we've done in the past, how often did that thought not cross your mind? Yes, just as Israel was delivered from their slavery to Pharaoh, so you and I, and that's how it's pictured to us in the sacraments, are spared from God's judgment and freed from the slavery to sin by the death of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself. Now, sometimes I like to ask the question, does Jesus invite us to come to the Lord's Supper? Because I know it was always the practice in previous denomination that I was in that elders will go and visit the church members in their zone every 3 months, because they celebrated only every 3 months. And I'll say something about that in a little bit. And then they will invite the people to the Lord's Supper. And I always had a question about, is this truly an invitation? In a sense, surely, we are invited to the Lord's Supper. But we should not think about this invitation as an invitation that we have a choice to accept it or not. There's no RSVP if you want. No, Jesus invites, but His invitation is really a command. Paul cites Jesus' words when he say, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And he continues to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So the point is, when the Lord's Supper is celebrated, God wants you here, obediently, dependently, acknowledging that in ourselves we are doubtful and weak, and we are in need of God's help and means of grace to strengthen us in our faith. And as often as you eat and drink, we do this. Now, and that is what he says. That brings us to the next question. What it means, as he said, as often as you eat and drink, you proclaim. See, how often is often? Unfortunately, it's one of those things that the Bible doesn't say. And every church makes her own decision when it comes to that. In some churches, as I said, like the Reformed churches in South Africa I grew up and ministered in most churches, they celebrate the Lord's Supper every 3 months. That came from a practice where people lived far away from the church and they would gather for the whole weekend at the church, eventually basically have camp there, and they will all visit, and Sunday school would take place during that time and so on. But eventually that practice was maintained. In the previous church that I served in, PCA Church in Virginia, we celebrated every week. But the church was smaller, so it was more easy, it was more practical. So it's really every church's prerogative to decide what is the best for their circumstances, as long as we hold to this principle of celebrating the communion often. And the next thing we see Paul address is that we are to celebrate in love and community. But I think it's important that you and I know that since we only celebrate as a church once a month, remember that that often can become very infrequent if you stay only away once or twice. And that's why I started this and said, that is why God wants us here. This command is to be here, because with that we acknowledge how completely weak and dependent we are upon our Savior. The next thing then is that Jesus commanded us to celebrate this Lord's Supper in love and community. Now, why was it necessary for Paul to focus on this matter? Because there was a lot of disunity in this church. He addressed the problem of strife and division in the church already in chapter 3. And in verse 3 he says, "For you are still fleshly." An interesting word that he used there. "Carnal. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' but then when we also heard what the background was for that chapter, for this chapter, that he actually addressed the same issue in this chapter, how the rich did not wait for the rest of the people. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:18, 'For in the first place, when you come together as a church,' he spells it out, 'I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it.' And the division showed in their selfishness and gluttony to eat themselves to full and even get drunk long before the other members of the church arrived." Yes, some, in other words, had no consideration for the rest of the church. And Paul told him straightforward, when you get together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not the way, in other words, Paul says, that is not the way you do it. The way they acted did not do justice to the fact that it was the Lord's Supper that they were celebrating. This was not the behavior that belonged to the body of Christ. That is not how it's supposed to be in the church of the Lord. And then he used this beautiful expression when he says, "Wait, in other words, for one another." Why is he saying that? He's saying that because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. When you say, "Wait for one another," he says, check your own heart whether you have place in there for those who are of the same body of Christ, of the same church, and be sensitive to each other's needs. Acknowledge one another. Take care of one another. Love and support one another. Yes, when he says, "Wait for one another," he says, remember, we are a family. Yes, we may be differing from one another in character and personality and habits. We may be differing from each other in intelligence or in the jobs that we do or in the financial state we are in. But the fact is, we are one in Christ. Through faith, we are one. We are brothers and sisters. We are a family, completely equal before the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, do we still believe that? Do we still acknowledge this? Do we still live this truth out as the church? Test yourself whether you know everyone in this church and whether you pass Sunday after Sunday by everyone just to go and talk to those whom you know. Family knows each other. Family loves each other. You and I may never forget that. And that is why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, "Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread." Imagine, instead of this bread that I have here, I had one loaf of bread this morning when we celebrate, and I pass that bread alone, and we all just break off that bread a piece for ourselves. Some churches do that. The picture, that it symbolizes is so beautiful, because it symbolizes our oneness. And even though we break this bread this morning and these little pieces in little cups, it's the same idea. It's the same principle that you must get, that it shows that we are one in the body, the one body of Christ. And that's what happened when we take of the bread and eat it. So that means that you and I must come to the Lord's Supper with true love for one another. Then there is no place for those, not that I'm saying that it exists, I want you to examine yourself, but I mean there is no place for an icy glimpse towards another, or the cold, reserved attitude because this one or that one have offended me months ago, or I ignore you because you said something about me a while back. Now, you are reminded again this morning with the Lord's Supper is that if there is conflict or unhappiness in a relationship, it needs to be resolved first before you come to the Lord's table. It is so important that we deal with these issues, because our participation in the Lord's Supper as we use these elements symbolizes to us the body and the blood of Jesus. It demonstrates to us the self-sacrificing love of the one who gave himself up to die for us as his church. And if that is how he loved us, how can you and I not love each other in the same way? Our love for one another must demonstrate the realization that we ourselves are sinners. We are no better than anyone else. Our sins, like anyone else's, deserve eternal death as punishment. But our love must also demonstrate that we realize that we are saved by grace, and not because of anything that we have accomplished in and of ourselves. And when there's differences, make sure that you sort it out. Go to each other and ask each other's forgiveness. And remember then to put it behind you, because you promise that you will never bring it up again when you forgive someone. Beware and do not sow any disorder in God's church. With whichever small issue it might be, because God wants his church to be united in faith and love and hope. Jesus himself has prayed so beautifully. You can go and read John chapter 17 again for the unity of his church. So always ask yourself whether you are working towards the unity of the church or whether you are sowing strife. Do you live a life separately on your own with no concern for the rest of your family? Or do you care and love and reach out and build up and use the gifts and talents that God has blessed us with to serve one another? God wants his church to look away. He wants us to look away from ourselves and see one another and one another's needs. Again this morning, while celebrating, it is not only about us. It's not only about our personal relationship to one another, towards God, I mean. It is not only about our own personal salvation and comfort and our own spiritual benefits. Yes, indeed, it is also about that. But you and I must also make sure that you and I are not a stumbling block for anyone else in our church family. May God continue to build us up to love him. And that love will show in our love towards one another. brings me to the next point, and that is that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, God let us remember certain things. It is, the Lord's Supper is a commemoration. That means He reminds us again of things that you and I so easily forget. And the first thing that you and I forget is God Himself. You might say, how is that possible? You know it is. It happens in your life and in mine. Right through the Old Testament, it was one of the sins of Old Testament Israel that they have forgotten the Lord. You can go and read how often He reminds them not to forget Him and His commandments. Our lives get so occupied and busy that we so often do not put God first in our lives anymore. And the Lord's Supper is also a commemoration of what the Lord has also done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. How beautiful was Isaiah chapter 53 this morning again, a prophecy that was wonderfully and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb who died for us, the crucified, who completely atoned for our sins in full, the one who bore our guilt and sin upon Himself and set us free. As 1 Peter said, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. And because of this dear price and the blood that flowed, you and I are free. Our sins are completely forgiven. That is why the Word of God could shout it out, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." It refers to the Lord's promise, "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more," He said in Jeremiah 31, as it's quoted also in Hebrews chapter 8. But finally, we are also reminded that Jesus will return. We can also become so busy that we just live for today. And Jesus said, tomorrow I could come. So you see, we look, in a sense, with the Lord's Supper, we look up, we look back, but we also look forward today. The Lord's Supper proclaims the Lord's death and resurrection, but also His coming. When you and I will sit together and He will be the one who serve us in that most wonderful feast that we are looking for, forward to. And then, and with that I end, the Lord says, examine yourself. Look inwardly. Are you in the right state of mind, in the right state of faith, to celebrate the Lord's Supper? There's so much that's taking place here when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to search our own hearts. We need to examine ourselves. Paul said many of the Corinthians were suffering sickness and even death because they were coming to the Lord's Supper with an unloving and self-centered, irreverent heart. Now we know, according to verse 32, this was not eternal judgment, but God's discipline on the church. Thus they had to repent and examine themselves. And each and every one of us and every church must always listen to these warnings of the Lord. A man must examine himself, and in so doing is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He said we should judge the body rightly. That means do not come irreverently. How can you come and claim the blood of Christ if you are not willing to repent of your sins and continue to live in your sins? The Lord's Supper is for believers. But believers who know their sins, grieve over it, brings it before the Lord with the absolute cry of, "Lord, please forgive us. Believers who know that only in Jesus Christ we have salvation and in no one and nothing else. Believers who have a heart's desire to live according to the will of God. So you see, the Lord's Supper is not for those who are perfect. No. Those three things. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he challenged them by saying, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. Brothers and sisters, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to examine yourself on a regular basis. Am I truly trusting in Him alone for my salvation? Am I sinfully at odds with anyone else? Is there any sin that I have not confessed and turned away from? So come again this morning. Remember, the Lord's Supper is not for sinless people, but for those of us who know how completely dependent we are on our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. That without Him, indeed, we cannot do anything. So come then and be strengthened. Come then and be comforted. A sacred head was wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, that we, His body, might live, relieved from sin and guilt, and love each other in peace. And God's people say, let us pray. Father, as we come before You, we declare that this table, as it is set up, Lord, is indeed prepared for Your children. Lord, You know our hearts. So we pray that we would come as we discern the body of Christ. But if we are not ready, or if we are an unbeliever, that we would not partake and so eat and drink judgment over ourselves. Father, we ask that You would strengthen us in our walk with You, that You would come and work through Your Holy Spirit that assurance in our hearts that You have indeed paid for all our sins, that You do not keep record of our sins, that the slate is clean, that we are washed as pure as white wool. And Father, that we stand before You in the perfect righteousness of Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Will the elders come forward, please? I will in a minute explain. For those of you who are new, you will receive the bread and the wine in the little cups. The pink cups are the wine, and the transparent cups are the juice. And in the other little cups, you will receive the pieces of bread. We also wait for each other, literally, so that we could use the elements together. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and after He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." There's also gluten-free bread in the purple cups. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us pray. Father, we bring you praises for this perfect atonement of your Son and the memories that you work in us again in such a tangible way this morning. Father, we know that without the powerful work of your Holy Spirit, there is no true remembrance. And we pray, Lord, that you would work that in us, that the remembrance eventually will bring us to activation more and more. Our gratitude would increase, our love to serve you and our eagerness to love and serve you more and more in obedience would just continue to grow. And Father, thank you that you have paid such a dear price to sanctify us as your people, and that we may live today and in this week and weeks to come with that absolute certainty that nothing can ever separate us from you, and that we have eternal life through our faith in Christ. And we praise you and thank you for all these things in his name. Amen. Continue now with our special collection that goes for Mercy Ministry. If the ushers will continue with that, thank you. Father, we pray that you would use these gifts also for your glory. Lord, there's people coming into the office, people that are in need on a regular basis. And we just ask that you would provide for us, that we would be able to provide where there truly are merits for it, but also for our own people, because you have taught us, Lord, to take care of those of the household of the faith first. I pray that you would bless the deacons as they administer this and give them in their decisions wisdom, discernment. And Lord, would you raise up even more deacons to help in this wonderful work of mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's end with come, Christians, follow where our Savior trod, or as we know it, lift high the cross.
Proclaim till all the world adore.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to prevent you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.